我都没讲。
That's what I see. Okay. That's what I see. So, where were we?
Okay. Now, we said the works of the law cannot annul it, right? Hence, Paul explained that the promise was received, that the promise was received by faith and not by the works of the law. I was about saying it, but I wanted to have that place of faith, right? Not by the works of the law. So, our being justified is by what? Faith. Of that one. Immediately. Our being justified is by faith. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So when a man tries to get justified, or so trying to justify a man who has received the promise by faith, with works, that is what Paul in Galatians would describe as what perversion. Do you understand? That's what Paul would describe as perversion in that Galatians. Perversion of the gospel, another gospel, heteros gospel. Another gospel. Are you heteros gospel? It's a perversion. You know, if you read the book of Galatians, something has happened. Something began to happen. They began to teach them. They became false gospel. False gospel started spreading. Now add law, add it. So Paul will now call those people. They trouble you. Hallelujah. They trouble you.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Look at verse 12 of Galatians 2. Verse 12 of that Galatians 3. Look at verse 12. It says, yet the law is not of faith. Chapter 3, verse 12. It says, yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Look at chapter 2, verse 16. Chapter 2, verse 16. Knowing this, that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Christ Jesus. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law, but by the works, for by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. So we hear the works of the law, that is what the law of sin and death. Did you get that? The works of the law is the law of sin and death. Because Jesus told us in John chapter 5 verse 46, he says, if you have believed in Moses, you will believe in me, for he wrote concerning me. Meaning Moses will write about Christ. But when works comes into play, that is love, sin, and death. That's what Paul helps us to see.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the law of sin and death was given because of the rejection of the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Written by who?
Written by Moses. Are you listening to that?
Aha. Glory to God.
Amen.
Okay. So look at verse 21. Verse 21. Galatians 2:21. He said, I do not set aside. Somebody with King James, old King James should read that.
I do not frustrate the grace of God.
That is that word. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Now that word law is what? The works of the law. You see that? Righteousness comes through the law. God is discussing what? Works of the law, egon
act of the law. No more. Egon no more. Thank you.
When you forget Greek, you have a Greek, somebody from Greece around to help you out. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay.
So let's go ahead. So he said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. So what Paul is saying is that trying to be justified by the works of the law is frustrating the grace of God. Meaning the promise, which is the indwelling of the Spirit, is a free gift among the works. That's what Paul is saying. He said, you frustrate the grace of God. Remember, that word grace of God is what free gift, right? So meaning, listen to this. So meaning, the indwelling of the Holy Ghost, which is a free gift, hallelujah, is not... Okay, let me put it like this. Is not of works. The indwelling of the Holy Ghost is not of works, but by faith. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So the next question will now be, why was the law added? So why was the law now given? I've said it, right? Because of what? They rejected, right? But just look at it from the scripture. Why was the law given? So we're discussing promise. So how was the law? Why did the law now come? Hallelujah. Look at that Galatians 3:19 again. It says, for what purpose does the law serve? He says, it is added because of transgression. It says, till the seed should come. To whom the promise was made. The seed is as of Christ, right? And it was appointed through angels in the hands of a mediator. Now, let's look at that. He says, it was added because of transgression. Now, that word transgression is not... It's not because when somebody say work and shake me to be no. I have taught this year's branch. The law help us know what is sin. Right? Who? Really? Is it right? No, not right. So help us know what is sin. There is such life. Let us know what sin is. How would you have known that work is a sin? What? How myopic that can be? Hallelujah. What is that? Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Sometimes then I sit down and I think about some messages that I thought. 2009. Okay, there was one message that I thought. I am exposing my first gospel. 2003, I was a Sunday school student. And I was a child of evangelism. So we were having morning devotion. And I carried my Bible to match you. You know what he said? He that said to his brother, Raka! To find yourself in the danger of what? Never seen a job like this. I never hear
her ask
kids of preaching.
Look at
you, God. You, I used to say, that word Raka means worker. Ha ha, bro. Come down. Now, that word transgression is the Greek word parabasis. Parabasis. P-A-R-A-B-A-S-I-S. Parabasis. Or parabasis. Anyone you choose, I'm not from Greece. Or you can ask Pastor Wisdom. He's some the compound word of para and basin. Basin. Para means beside, right? We said that before. Beside. Right? Beside. And that other word, basis or basis, is the word to step. So when you hear the word parabasis, it implies to step aside from right. To step aside from right. In this context, it would mean to step aside from doing right. Or from what is right. So when he said the law was added because of transgression, before now, what is expected of a man when the gospel is ministered? You go back to Abraham. What was expected from Abraham? That was Abraham believed God. Right? So, is that because if a man, if the gospel is ministered, Galatians 3:8, God foreseeing that the heathen will be justified through faith, right? Preach the gospel to Abraham, right? Now, listen. Listen, Abraham's response was to believe. Meaning the response of a man to the gospel is to believe. Now, transgression, which is now seen in the Greek hamartia, will now be not doing what you ought to do when the gospel is preached. And what are you supposed to do when the gospel is preached? To believe. So when a man does not believe, it is called transgression. Are you with me? Are you with me? Aha. So Hamatia to miss the mark. The mark is to believe. The mark set is Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So transgression, parabasis is to respond in a way you ought not to respond. And the way you ought to respond is what? Faith, belief. So the law was added because of transgression. Meaning, that will bring to mind Matthew 19. Say, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffer you to divorce your wives, right? Say, but from the beginning, it was not so. So meaning, transgression will mean what? Unbelief to the gospel when preached. That's what Paul is saying. So it is added because of unbelief. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Amen. Unbelief for what? For what God told Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What did God tell them? The promise. Right? The promise. And the promise is who? Christ. The seed is who? Christ. The land is what? Concerning Christ. Hallelujah. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Are you following me? So it's the same thing. Glory to God. Let's look at Exodus. Let's see that. Exodus chapter 3, verse 17. Exodus 3, 17. I'll read. I was talking about verse 16. Say, go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, the Lord your God, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appeared to me, saying, I have surely visited you. And seen what is done to you in Egypt. For I have said, I will bring you out of the affliction of Egypt. See, I need you to take note of some things here. Are you with me? Now I say, I will bring you out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites. Mark that word land. To the land of the Canaanites. And the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites. And the Hivites and the Jebusites to a land flowing with milk and honey. What was intended? A land. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Look at chapter 6 of that same Exodus. I want to read from verse 6. Therefore say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Mark that. I'll bring you out. This is going to come alive during the prayer. I'll bring you out of the burdens of the Israelites. I will rescue you from their bondage. Two. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgment. Three, I will take you as my people. That's the word Alei. I will take you as my people, and I will be to you, and I will be your God, and you shall know that I am the Lord God who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Look at verse 8. Everybody, look at verse 8. He says, and I will bring you into the land. You see, this is to the children of Israel. What is this spoken of again? Land. The same land he told Abraham. The same land he told Isaac. Okay, let me take that. The same land he told Abraham, who thought it was going to be Isaac, right? The same land too he told Isaac. We thought it was going to be Jacob. He told Jacob. Now he's telling the children of Israel, which is what? His children. Are you following me? Say, I will take you, I will bring you to the land. Okay, let's go ahead. Which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you as an inheritance. I am the Lord. Look at verse 9, and let's see their response in verse 9. Can we see their response? Look at their response. So Moses spoke thus to the children of Israel, but they did not heed. Moses, because of the anguish of spirit and cruel bondage, they did not heed, meaning they did not believe
transgression.
This is why Moses, why Paul will not write, because of transgression. They did not believe. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
They did not heed, unbelief, transgression. They stepped away from God's promise. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the writer of Hebrews 4, we say the gospel was preached to them as well as to us, right? Right? To the believing ones. So he said, but the word preached to them do not profit them, say not be mixed with faith in them that hate it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the gospel was preached to them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So what they rejected is the gospel as regards Christ's work. So the gospel, now what? Now from the writer of Hebrews, we can also see that the gospel is received by faith. The gospel which is promise, the promise, right? The promise of God. The promise of the gospel which is ministered as a promise in the Old Testament. Right? Is received by faith in the gospel of Christ and not by works of the law. Glory to God.
Yeah.
Let's just do a quick one, even as we round up. In Galatians chapter 3, let's go down to Galatians 3, from verse 16 to 18, as we begin to round up. So, next week we'll round up this teaching on the promised land. Hallelujah. So, when you get promised land, we don't be thinking of one land that honey and milk will be thrown from there. We'll look at all those things next week. Hallelujah. So we'll spend more time. We might end up completing the session next week by 5:36. Because we'll have to round it up. And cook full stop. Hallelujah. Cook full stop. Well. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Okay, verse 16 of Galatians 3. He says, now to Abraham and his seed. But the promises made, remember it's not promises. We don't have promises in the scripture. Hallelujah. We don't have promises in the scripture. God did not promise you money in your account. I said it earlier, but let me say it again. God did not promise you money in your account. He did not promise you good job. He did not promise you nice house. No. His promise in the scripture is fulfilled. Which is what? Christ which is the resurrection of Christ, sorry. Hallelujah. If I put Christ and his resurrection, look at what I'm talking about in the first place. Hallelujah. Look at this one here. Now he says, to Abraham and his seed were the promise made. Right? He does not say unto seed as of many, but as of one, unto your seed, who is Christ. Look at verse 18. He says, for if the inheritance is of the law, it is no longer of promise. For God gave it to Abraham by promise. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the promise is what? Christ. And we said by identification, who? The church. Right? All of us who are identified with Christ. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You look at verse 2. Now, remember, we said by extension, I really don't want to use that word extension. Let's rush to verse 28 first before we go to verse 2. Verse 26 rather. It says, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Did you get that? So, we are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Meaning, we are seed of Abraham. That's what Paul is saying. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Verse 29. And if you are Christ,
then you are Abraham's seed. That was if, then if you are in Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heir according to the promise. If you are in Christ, you are Abraham's seed. So, meaning by identification, we say we are Abraham's seed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now when you hear Abraham's seed, what is it talking about? Abraham's blessings are mine. Abraham's blessings are mine. I am blessed in the morning. I am blessed in the evening. Abraham's blessings are mine. Hallelujah. Abraham. And you know people sing that and they sing it and they don't sing money to their account. They now see that they think that land is like into their account. This is Abraham's promise. Okay, let me use my right. I'll give unto you of the dew of the earth.
Fatness of the earth.
Drop them down. Okay, calm down. We don't know scripture. That is quoting out of context, you know. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let's go to the of context. Of this father of death. So you have blessed the Lord. So you are thinking of milk and honey. A good job. Those are ideas. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Those are ideas. Are you listening to me? Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
In fact, I told you something last week that I'm going to repeat again today. When God promised Abraham land, did Abraham have land? You know, that is one funny thing people don't get. He said, the Lord promised Abraham a land. Abraham never had a land of his own. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
He never did. In fact, the only land Abraham could purchase was for what? For burial. For burial ground. Not even purchase. Only burial ground. So the Bible says he lived from tents. So does that mean? With who? With Isaac and Jacob. In Jerusalem. So they moved from place to place. In fact, at the point Jacob said, my days of pilgrimage. You understand? They know that they didn't have a place to stay. Oh, they said, and the Lord blessed Abraham. God did not bless Abraham money. Abraham was rich before God met him. Or he met God, or God met himself. You understand? You need to know that flesh. Say God increased Abraham. Abraham was a businessman. Go and lead. That was where Isaac too learned from. Business. When he was coming, did Isaac stay in one place? He went somewhere. I want to do what? Business. Are you hearing me? Then the Lord blessed Isaac. Isaac built a well. I love that. My son was fine, good. Isaac knew the well. They came to come, Isaac gave him the name. He went to another well. You know when God begins to bless you. When your enemy is coming,
Hallelujah.
Amen. He was just a businessman. Simple business. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Are you listening to me? He said, do you want God to bless like Abraham?
Where is your Isaac?
Bring out your Isaac. Bring out your Isaac. Where is your first fruit? Where is that thing that opened in your stomach?
Just as if you can't even say,
in first fruit, okay.
Only first fruit.
Last fruit. First fruit. What am I bringing all this? Because they all come and I didn't see. So that's why I'm trying to bring this up. As we conclude this section, you get prepared as you go through your notes for next week. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And that's why I had to write it here.
We're going to look at it.
Bring down to your first fruit. Drop your first, drop your Isaac. I learned that from Pastor Shelby.
And then while they were there, they said, that's not the problem. They went to a congregation.
And the pastor was preaching.
He said, you want God to bless you financially.
You know, when a pastor leaves church work and begins to do financial advice, forgetting his father is a pastor, shepherd of the flock. He's not a financial advisor. I did not do what I can. Yes, now, he's not do what I can. He's not going to say, okay, he's not going to do what is for Amman. The Nigerian version. You know, Nigerians have their version of everything. Amman. You know who knows Amman? Now we have to consider you as a bookkeeper. He's now teaching. Do you want to make it in your business? He does not have a business. He said this ISC and for this and people come to cancel. He knows more about business. He said, come and drop your ISC. Well, let's see. When they bring the bow, drop your ISC and you do what? You go home with your own. Did Abraham go home with the ISC? He did, Daddy. So you drop your ISC and take it
home. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I learned it from my pastor. So drop your ID and let's go back home. Daddy?
You make sense. You know you are not sitting in front. I'm now bringing out the photo of when I'm dropping it.
I just want to.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
So, Abraham never had a land. Something to actually look out for. So that shows you that the land is talking about, means Abraham knew what God was communicating him. And because he believed in the gospel. Now we're going to look at that next week. Now before he believed in the gospel, he's not going to, now that is faith towards the gospel, right? And remember the Bible says he was a preacher. He was a preacher. So meaning, and what he wanted to do on Mount Moriah with Isaac was to show Isaac what God will do in Christ. Hallelujah. So he knew what was happening, what was going to happen in Mount Moriah. Hallelujah. And that's why he told Isaac, God will provide. Jehovah Jireh.
Not God will provide job, God will provide the land. Hallelujah. Which will be what?
Something like that. Now, God will provide the land. Which will be? The lamb will be Christ. God will provide the sacrifice, right?
Now, let's go ahead. Now, there's something very key to take hold with. Abraham, going to Mount Moriah, young man. Abraham going to Mount Moriah shows that he is a minister of the gospel, right? Because of what he went to do towards Isaac. Now there's something to take note of quickly. Abraham believing the gospel of what God will do in Christ. As a minister of the gospel, you must now bear in your Christian walk the message of the gospel. So Abraham will now bear that message that he preaches. Hallelujah. And I believe strongly was the reason why Abraham did not have a particular place to settle in for a land and house. He moved from place to place. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because he was going to bear that message that he preaches. And that is what we now call, the faithfulness to the message. We'll look at a bit of all these things next week, but I'm just bringing it to this. Now you begin to get yourself prepared. Hallelujah. So when you hear God is faithful, it's because he promised and he fulfilled that promise. Our God is faithful because of what he has done, not what he will do, what he has done. Hallelujah. Also the minister of the gospel is the same gospel that he preaches, that he lives by it. So a minister of the gospel will bear the message that he preaches, was behind it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So when he says he who believes, look at verse 2 of chapter 3, Galatians 3, verse 2. He says, This I only want to know length of you. Did you receive the Spirit? Now he's talking about, you know, we who believe are now called sons of Abraham. I mean seed of Abraham. Hallelujah. So he now says, this I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? He then said, oh foolish ones. That is anotos, right? Not using your mind. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He said, I haven't begun in the Spirit. Are you now being perfect, made perfect by the flesh? He says, I haven't begun in the Spirit. Meaning to be born again is to begin in the Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Did you get that?
Amen.
Is to begin in the Spirit. In Romans chapter 8, he said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God. He said, these are the sons of God. As many as are led, are going with, and are brought forth by the Spirit of God. That is the new birth. As many as are brought forth by the Spirit of God. He said, the same are the sons of God, heroes of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Heroes of God. And the children of God. Bonafide children of God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So the man in Christ is characterized by the indwelling of the Spirit. So what is Paul saying? Paul is saying that the promise made to Abraham as the seed is talking about Christ and the church characterized by the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. So therefore the seed of Abraham is the Spirit in the believer. Or the Spirit in the man. That is the new thing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So from Paul's explanation, the promise of Abraham is the Spirit. Is the Spirit. The Holy Ghost. He said, have you begun in the Spirit? Haven't begun in the Spirit. So it's the Spirit, it's the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Ghost. So we'll see also from the writer of Hebrews and from Paul that what the Spirit, I mean the promise, all the promises, which is the great promise, right? 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 For souls, right? Now it's all the great promise, or the great promise of God is the Spirit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
A quick recap. Peter calls it what? Let me know who was there last week. Peter calls it what? No. Gifts of the Holy Ghost, yes. And calls that what? Calls that promise what? No, he calls it all trance. He calls it all trance. And in talking about all trance, in chapter 2, he says, he quoted Joel, and he said, out of my Spirit, I will pour out of my Spirit, right? Right? Hallelujah. I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. So when he says out of, he's extending utterance as he was at the promise. So he now says, that utterance is out of my Spirit. And what is the Spirit within? Hallelujah. Remember, the utterance he's talking about is what? Spirit within upon. He's quoting Luke 24:49. He says, stand here in the city of Joseph, and here be endued with power from on high. Now, the power from on high is power from within. Hallelujah. Endued and drove, which is what to take of what you have in heart. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, when he talks about utterance as the promise, he's talking about utterance from the Spirit. So Peter is not saying anything different from what Paul has said, meaning that the promise is the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So from the Spirit, what proceeds from the Spirit is a result of that promise. Are you following me? Are you following me? So there are not two promises in the scriptures. We've seen from Paul, we've seen from Peter, we've seen from the writer of Hebrews. So next week we're going to look at what the land is. What really is the land? We're going to look at from scripture, what does the land mean? Then we'll know what the promised land is. as we come to the promised land, or we are still looking for the promised land, we'll get to know. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Have you learned something today?
Why not turn to someone and explain?